And especially in this day and age when the driving emotions of our world today are fear. And from that fear is anger. You see it all over the world. The news media, everything is pushing an idea of terror and fear. And the truth of the matter is, by and large, we live in a very peaceful society. And it's because of what you do every day. And I want to remind our church of something. I want to remind every young person of something today. In a day and age where it seems respectable to be rebellious, it seems expected to be against authority. When you rebel against authority, ultimately you rebel against God. And I want to remind every young person in our church today, I want to remind every parent as you're raising your children, that sitting before us today in our first responders, these are not just police officers, sheriff's deputies, fire personnel, rescue. They are ministers, ordained ministers of God. Maybe you as a law enforcement have never really considered that before, but I want you to understand that the position you have today is not a man-made agency. It wasn't something instilled by the laws of men. It was ordained in the plan of God. I want to read to you just a couple of scriptures. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. A person doesn't have authority unless he's been given that authority by God. And the Bible says the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. I want you to keep that in your mind. You young people, listen to your pastor for a minute. When you see on social media, you see people out resisting with their faces covered with masks and they're resisting law enforcement. They're not resisting law enforcement. They're fighting God. I want you to remember that. And the Bible says that he that resisteth the power of God. And the Bible says this, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. I'll promise you, this world is going to have a reckoning one day. They're going to find out that there was something a lot worse than facing the taser or the pepper spray or even the weapon. One of these days they're going to face God. And I want you to see something here. The Bible says, for the rulers are not a terror unto good works, but to the evil. You know, nobody should ever be afraid of somebody in law enforcement, except the person doing wrong. I can tell you something right now. I have always had a love and respect in my heart. My mom and dad are sitting here today. Mom and dad have been married 58 years, 59 years. And I grew up in a very Mayberry kind of home. In fact, I'm kind of a Barney Fife myself, probably. Think I'm important, but not very important. But I grew up in a wonderful home, and I was taught respect. And my mom and dad had a fix for attention deficit disorder. It was called a leather belt. The dad got my attention quick. Now, I remember as a kid, I'd see a police officer in the restaurant. I wanted to go over and talk to him. I wanted to look at that gun. I wanted to see his muscles. I wanted to be around that officer. The only times in my life I've ever been afraid of a police officer is when I was driving down the interstate. And I was praying. And I look up and I see an officer. And you know what happens? The first thing that you do, you look at that speedometer, your heart goes right to your throat, boom, 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 boom. And I don't know why we do this. I don't know. I don't think. Maybe you could help us with this. Whistling doesn't really work when we go by you, does it? I don't know why we in there, I'm cool. I'm all right. I wasn't doing anything wrong. You don't know that. You didn't see that. That's the only time I've ever been afraid of an officer is when I was doing wrong. The Bible says the rulers are not a terror unto good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Listen, you do what's right, You won't get pulled over. Do what's right. You won't have to worry about tangling with the law enforcement. I'm so thankful that I've never had the police called on me. I've never been arrested. Not yet. The deacons did tell me one day when I first became the pastor, they said, "Pastor, you get one bailout. All right? We'll bail you out once. After that, you're on your own." I thank the Lord I've never had that. Now, I did have to call the fire department one time. My wife and I were living in Colorado, and we had our first daughter. She's in college now. She's 20, but she was 3 years old. And my wife and I were in the house, and we're just enjoying the evening. And my wife said, "Do you smell gas?" And I smell gas. Not natural gas, gasoline. Well, I begin to look around the house. I smell gasoline. And the next thing I know, I hear this shriek from the kitchen. My wife has walked in and found my three-year-old daughter standing in the kitchen with a gas can. The garage door's open. She has the gas can. My wife grabs the gas can, grabs her, looks at her face, and when she gets right up close, she smells gas on her mouth. I thought, oh, she swallowed gas. I dialed 911. I'm calling. I said, "I think my daughter swallowed gas. You got to get here as quick as you can." And aren't you thankful that there are people you can call when you're losing your mind? All of a sudden, the neighborhood lit up. That's the embarrassing part. All the neighbors are looking out the blinds. I told you that guy was going to kill his wife. That guy was crazy. Man, there are fire trucks everywhere. Ambulance comes in. Those guys came in the house. They grabbed my daughter, set her up on it. She's laughing. She's playing with their badge and all this kind of stuff. And they're checking her out. And the guy said, "Look, if she had swallowed that, it would have eaten up her esophagus." Okay? And so they calmed us down. First parents, they calmed us down. And they all left. We thanked them. My wife and I are sitting in the living room, and I kept smelling gas. I mean, just permeating through the house. So there's something wrong. We went and found Deanna. She was fine. Looked around through the house. I couldn't find. My wife went downstairs. We had an aquarium down there. And the fish were all belly up. There was a layer of oil on top of the aquarium. My daughter thought the fish needed some water. So she found Daddy's watering can. And she gave it to him. And I thought about that. You know, there's my daughter up on the counter. The firemen are looking over, making sure everything's fine. And the fish are down there going, "It's us. It's us, man. Come down the stairs. It's us." So we had a funeral for the fish. Taught our daughter not to play with gasoline. But I'm so thankful that there's somebody to call. I want us to understand just a couple of principles this morning. Number one, the reason that first responders have a job today, the reason that you have a job, the reason you wear that uniform, there's one underlying principle, the reason why you have a position, that is because sin. There's sin in this world. If anybody knows that there's sin in the world, it's the first responder. You've seen it. And you've seen people at their very worst. You've seen the sinful depravity of man. There is sin in this world today. The truth of the matter is that when God created man and woman and Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God created this world, and the Bible said he looked at it and said it was very good. There was no death, there was no sin, there were no tears, there were no heartaches. But the Bible says, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." Sin is in the heart of men. It is sin that causes a man to beat his wife. It's sin that causes a man to come home and abuse his children. It's sin that causes a man to rob and steal and take drugs and get addicted and become a fool and do all the things they do. It's sin that causes a man to go out and hunt down other people, to kill them. And I really believe that the average citizen, we are dealing with the own sins in our own lives and the difficulties of our own lives by sin. But most of us really never see the true underbelly of society. But there is a line that stands between the peace and the evil. And there is pure evil in this world. And I want to say today that the first responder is there because there is the sinful nature of man. And the Bible says that sin has to be punished and the righteous have to be protected. God established this rule of government authority to stand between life and death. I'm thankful that one of these days, if there's ever a tragedy in my family where a drunk driver has crossed the line and hit our family and we're on the highway somewhere, that there's somebody who can come to our aid and stand between life and death with us. And I'm thankful that there's somebody to take that man who in his drunkenness broke the law. I'm glad there's somebody that can take him and make him face justice for what he's done. You stand in the place as an ordained minister of God to stand between sin and righteousness, between good and evil, between peace and unrest. The reality of the first responder brings to our attention that there is sin in the world. But I want to say this. The first responder not only calls our attention to sin, but it calls our attention to sacrifice. This often goes overlooked, but I'll tell you something. Mr. and Mrs. Dean and Walker understand sacrifice. You dear people who wear the uniform run into burning buildings. I know there's kind of a feud that goes on between law enforcement and fire. It's a friendly feud. I heard a police officer say one day, the difference between a fireman and a policeman is that a policeman will always run into a burning building, but a fireman will always run into a gunfight. I disagree with that. It was coming from a policeman. Well, the truth of the matter is they understand sacrifice. They've had to go into places to get people out of situations that most people, when they're running away from it, they're running to it. There's a sacrifice, but I want to say there's a greater sacrifice than that. How many times have we seen a packed stadium with all kinds of fans, and there's some kind of a contest going on, a football game or a basketball game going on, and on the perimeter of that stadium, there's law enforcement present. There are emergency personnel ready in case anybody gets hurt. They're standing there to protect that stadium from any kind of terror or harm. And just their presence is a deterrent. And those people stand in the shadow, making sure that nothing evil happens while a game is being played. And that person who's protecting is pulling down about $2,500, $3,000 a month. And the people they're protecting are playing a game for millions. I'm glad for the capitalistic idea that if a man can play a game, make millions, fine. But I want to know, there is a sacrifice in laying down your life. And many of you have understood the sacrifice of saying goodbye to your family and going on to your shift, not knowing what you're going to face that day. How many times has a law enforcement agent or a fire department personnel gone to a scene of an accident where there was a teenage driver killed? And at the end of that shift, they go home. And their teenager standing there with keys saying, "Mom, Dad, I'm going to go see my friends." And the war that goes on in your own heart about what's out there, and you've got a family, and you've got bills, and you've got kids, and you've got a marriage, and all those things, the pressures of the job that come home. Somebody died on your watch. Somebody died in your ambulance. Somebody died in that fire or in that car wreck. You couldn't help them. You did everything you could. You couldn't protect them. And then you got to go home and look at your babies and see your family and all those things that weigh on the life of a first responder. Your life represents sacrifice. Because of the sinful world, somebody has to stand in that gap and sacrifice. But I think above all, your life, your uniform, your job represents not only the sin that's in this world and the sacrifice that comes with the job, but your uniform and your position represents the Savior. You know, really and truly, God was the first responder. God said, "In the day ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." A man ate, became a sinner. God walked into that garden, and you know what he said? He said, "Adam, where art thou?" Now, I found something out as I studied my Bible. God never asks a question for information. Most law enforcement and attorneys don't ask questions for information either. You already know the answer. But God didn't ask that question for information. God asked that question. He wanted Adam to know where he was. He said, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam said, "Lord, we're here." He said, "Why are you wearing those leaves?" He said, we were naked and we were ashamed. And God said, "Who told you?" And Adam blamed his wife. He said, "Lord, it was this woman." And then he blamed God. "It was the woman you gave me." He said, "Everything was going fine in this garden. I was doing well until you gave me this woman." Now look at us. And then they blamed the old devil. It was the serpent. What did God do that day? God took man who had been lost in sin, his life now shamed by sin. And God took an animal and he slew it. And he used the sacrifice of that animal to clothe them, to bring man back into fellowship with him. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19 and verse 10, about Jesus, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You know what Jesus did? He came on a search and rescue. And he came to find people who were lost in their sin. People who had been lost from God, eternally lost. And by the way, I want to say something. This world is in sin, and brother, sin will one day be judged. It'll be punished one day before God, and men that are in sin will be eternally lost from God in a place called hell. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He who knew no sin became sin. The Bible says that Jesus laid down his life. No man took his life, he laid it down. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend, and then he called us friends. The life of the first responder reminds us that there is a world full of sin. It reminds us that there is a sacrifice that has to be made because of sin. It reminds us of the Savior who came and didn't die just for my sin, but for the sins of the whole world. I want you to think about this today. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. From the top of my head to the bottom of my foot, I'm a sinner today. I've missed the mark of God's law. I was born into sin. Because of my sin, I've been separated from God. Because of my sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Men die because of sin, and ultimately one day a man will die eternally away from God if they pay for their own sins. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came into a world full of sin, and he himself knew no sin, but he willingly became sin and laid his life down to pay the price for every man, every woman, and every child. Listen to me. Jesus Christ bore the wrath of God. Sin will be judged. Now, I want to make this very clear. I'm a sinner today. But I can stand here today and I can tell you that my sins have been judged. They will not be judged before God at the throne. They were judged on Jesus and Calvary. Because by faith, I went to Jesus Christ and I saw what he did for me and I accepted it. The best way I knew how, I said, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. You have no sin. You're the precious Son of God. Born of a virgin, pure and clean. And Jesus, you came all this way to become man, to live a sinless life and then die such an awful death. You did that for me. Jesus, I trust you today. Would you take my sin and make them yours? And Jesus, that life that came out of that tomb alive, would you let that life be mine?" And you know, there was a transaction that happened that day. Jesus took all my sin and made them his, and he gave that life and made it mine. And if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things washed away, all things made new. Listen to me, Jesus Christ saves. What a wonderful thing to see the videos of heroism. My wife and I were watching the other day a video that went around of these firefighters up on a big ladder and a building was burning. Saw that fireman go into that window and come out with a child and was trying to come down that ladder with that child, and the child was dying of smoke inhalation and dropped that child down. All those stories, and that other firefighter caught him and ran with him, began to do CPR. Man, our heart was so moved by that. To see the act of sacrifice, to go in at death's door to bring somebody out. And let me tell you something. Jesus went in. And he came out. And he came out with salvation. And I want you to know, I want to talk to law enforcement. I want to talk to fire department. I want to talk to every first responder. I want to talk to every boy, girl, man, woman, child in this room. I want everybody to hear me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but Jesus went into that for you and came out victorious, and he offers you a free gift today that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And not just from a fire or a car wreck or a disease or a burglar. He'll be saved from eternal hell and saved to go to heaven. And he can know it. The Bible says in the book of John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Do you know you can know it today? You can have eternal life by trusting Christ. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, this is an old sinful world.